This call is being recorded.
Good morning. Welcome to Declare Victory. Has anyone else joined the call this morning that would like to say good morning?
Good morning, Susie. It's Deborah.
Good morning, Deborah Evans. And who just joined us?
Good morning, Susie. This is James.
Good morning, James. Has anyone else joined the call? Good morning. Welcome to Declare Victory. This is Susie. Has anyone else joined the call? Is there anyone else joining the call that would like to say good morning? Good morning. Welcome to Declare Victory. Is anyone else joining the call? Good morning. Welcome to Declare Victory. Has anyone else joined the call that would like to say good morning? Anyone else like to say good morning?
Good morning, Victory family. It's Pam. I love you guys. Have a blessed day.
Good morning, Pam. Same to you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Has anyone else joined the call?
Good morning, Susie. It's Diane.
Good morning, Diane.
Good morning. Happy Thursday.
Same to you.
Good morning, yep. Susie. It's Barbara.
Good morning, Barbara. Anyone else like to say good morning? Has anyone else joined the call?
Morning, Susie. It's Andrew.
Good morning, Brother Andrew.
How are you this morning, Susie?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm good.
Good.
I'm good.
Anyone else like to say good morning?
Good morning, it's Delivered Demetra.
Good morning, Delivered Demetra. Anyone else?
Good morning, family. This is Bubbly. Happy Thursday.
Good morning, Bubbly. Same to you. Anyone else like to say good morning? Good morning. Welcome to Declare Victory. Anyone else like to say good morning? Has anyone else joined the call?
Good morning, Ivanka.
Good morning, Sister Yvonne. Good to hear you this morning.
God bless you.
And who is that?
It's Ravonda. Good morning.
Good morning, Ravonda. Anyone else like to say good morning?
Good morning. It's Deidre. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Deidre. Anyone else like to say good morning? Does anyone else join the call that would like to say good morning?
Yo.
Good morning. Good morning, Brother E.
Morning.
Anyone else like to say good morning? Good morning. Welcome to Declare Victory. Has anyone else joined the call?
Yes. Good morning. This is Mona.
Good morning, Mona.
Good morning.
Anyone else? Anyone else join the call that would like to say good morning?
Good morning, David here.
And who is that again? I couldn't hear you.
David.
Oh, good morning, David.
Good morning.
Are you a new caller?
No, I've called him before.
Okay.
I'm Reverend Jordan, so.
Oh, okay. Anyone else during the call that would like to say good morning?
Good morning, it's Beverly.
Good morning, Beverly. Okay, we will be starting the call now, but before we move forward, we ask that you mute your line so that we can proceed. And good morning, my name is Susie Romack, and I am your hostess, and thank you for joining us here on Declare Victory. We are a prayer call that meets Monday through Saturday, starting at 6 o'clock a.m. Pacific Time, to edify, empower, encourage, and equip you in your walk with Christ. Please feel free to invite a friend so they can be blessed too. This month, we have heard great stories of many of you experiencing miracles. It has truly been September to remember. We hope you are realizing who and whose you are in Christ this month. We also pray God is revealing your purpose and his promises concerning you and your future. We do have two announcements this morning. If you have been blessed by the Declare Victory prayer call, if you have, you can give a love offering at declarevictory.org. Or visit our PayPal account at paypal.me/declarevictory. Your donation is fully tax deductible and will help us continue to broadcast. We thank you very much and pray it be returned to you tenfold. There were no prayer requests from the app. The order of the call is: the declaration will be by Philip Watson. Praying and corporate praise will be done by Nisi. Now repeat that. The declaration will be by Philip Watson. Praying and corporate praise will be done by Nisi. Then we will go right into the closing comments hosted by the Declare, Philip Watson. At this time, we ask that you put your phones on mute until instructed to come off mute. Everyone have a wonderful day. God bless you all. And I now pass the call to the declarer for today, Philip Watson. I turn it over to you, Philip.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. How are we doing? I want to say this prayer real quick as we get started. Father, we just thank you. We bless you. We love you. We honor you. We thank you, Lord, for opening our eyes this morning to the glorious reality that you are King of Kings and that you are Lord of Lords. And Father, I pray that as you open us to this reality today, that we would know our identity even more today. Lord, that we would grow in you even more today, that we will become even more connected. Lord, we know we're already connected to you, but in our hearts that we will know this. Lord, that it will be intensified. We bless you, Lord God, for what it is that you are doing. You are so great. You are so honorable. And so we say that you would open our hearts to receive what it is you have for us. Holy Spirit, teach us. Holy Spirit, teach us and bear witness of Jesus in our lives today. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we're going to do some things that are going to be real interesting today. We are touching on identity, of course. And in touching on the issue of identity, I wanted to kind of touch on pride. I noticed there were some people that were asking me some questions the other day about Leviathan, and I want to really show the connection between pride, identity, and movement. Pride, identity, and movement, okay? And this is all about Jesus, okay? Let me start that and let me set that right now, okay? Jesus died on the cross for us. And since Jesus died on the cross for us, he restored the relationship or the access that you and I can have with the Father. But in accessing the Father, when we call ourselves believers, we are now saying that our lives are not our own, okay? Our lives are not our own, all right? And this is all scripture. Which I'm speaking, by the way. Everything I'm going to speak today, I'm using scripture to back up what it is that I'm saying, because just in the event that our mind or our intellect tends to get in the way or tends to get puffed up, okay? Puffed up is a word I'm going to be using. And so I'm saying from Romans chapter 8, verse 9, or better yet, let me give you a better one. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 through 20, okay, where it talks about our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit who is in us. And it says that we are not our own, okay? We are not our own. Once we get saved, our lives are not our own. And so being that our lives are not our own, when we begin to take our lives and try to treat them as that they are our own and that it is not subject to a higher power, for lack of a better word, what we're doing at that moment is saying that our agenda is more important than the one who we said that we were yielding our lives to, okay? So now our agenda becomes exalted. Okay, when our agenda becomes exalted, that is pride. All right, that is pride that is happening right there. I want to show us a scripture real quick. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Now, 2 Timothy 1, verse 9 is Paul speaking to Timothy, who was his spiritual son. And he says, who has saved us. He's talking about Jesus. Who has saved us and called us with the holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Okay? So you and I were saved, all right? But we weren't saved according to anything that we did. We were called, but not according to anything that we did, but according to God's own purpose. Now, we know that a purpose has to do with an agenda or a plan. So that means that God has a plan. This is the scripture where it actually talks about God having an actual plan. Okay? And I want you to also notice that not only is there a plan, but the calling says it's a holy calling. Okay? So this isn't just any type of calling. This is a holy calling. This is a set apart, sanctified calling that you and I are a part of. And so our identity is to reflect that thing. It's to reflect the fact that you and I are called, that you and I are set apart, okay? Now, I'm bringing these things in because being that you and I are called to a life in Christ, being that we are connected to a life of Christ, that means there's also an agenda that God has. There's a blueprint that God has that will help you and I get to the particular end result that he desires for us to get to, okay? An end result that he desires for us to get to. And so even when you woke up this morning, there was an end result that God had for each and every single one of us to get to or fulfill throughout our day. So it's impossible for us to come to a God and not have a purpose. Okay, the problem comes is when we exalt our purpose over our relationship. And that's what's happening a lot. This is why you have a lot of times suicide, even in the Christian church, because what has happened is the pursuit of purpose is being exalted above the person who gives the purpose. And so as a result, people feel, since I don't have my purpose is the only thing that's going to make me happy. The fulfillment of my destiny is the only thing that's going to make me happy. And so when they don't get the fulfillment of that destiny at the time that they want or the certain things that they want, they don't have any happiness. And so as a result, they end up saying, I'd rather just die because I don't see myself ever getting to this point or ever getting to this moment, where that is a lie of the enemy. And I'm going to show you in scripture about that. And what happens is the person becomes depressed, the person becomes low. Now I want to show you some scriptures. A couple of these are going to really challenge you and even seem controversial today, but hey, you know, Jesus is Lord. Don't take it up with me. Take it up with the word of God. Okay? I'm sorry, y'all. So let me start right here. Psalms chapter 10, verse 4. Okay? Because since you and I are members of God, we're members of this body, our life is not our own. When we look at God, this is how we find our identity. In Psalms chapter 10, verse 4, the Bible says, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Okay? So what this shows is this scripture. Now, the word pride also means swelling. Okay? So what does it mean when something is swole, right? Something is puffed up. Okay? Something is puffed up. Now, I'm going to give you another meaning that pride means. A lot of times we associate pride with being arrogant, right? But I'm going to give you another word that pride means in these particular texts, okay? Pride also means presumptuous, okay? Seriously, it means presumptuous. Now, presumptuous also means too confident, especially in a way that is rude. Okay? When we're just sitting there like, nah, you know what? I'm cool. Like, nobody could tell you anything.
A person who is presumptuous shows little respect for others by doing things they have no right to do. Presumption is also being rude, okay? Presumption is also kind of like, you know, can't nobody tell me nothing. I'm kind of rolling on my own thing. And this is the problem with the can't nobody tell me anything. Because when we get in that place, what happens is we're shutting off our purpose to the instruction from heaven, okay? And so I brought up Psalms chapter 10, verse 4, because it says, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. So in other words, this shows us that pride keeps us from seeking after God, okay? Pride keeps us from seeking after God, all right? It keeps us from really looking at him. So I tell people this, and I've learned this before, and I've seen this before, even in my own life. When pride comes in, pride is that thing that keeps you from your prayer life. You know, when you start looking up and you like, man, I'm not really praying no more. You know what I'm saying? There's some pride that's come in, okay? And pride hardens the heart. Pride, where we get the pride hardening the heart from, is from Job chapter 41, verse 24. Now, you all were asking me the other day, who is Leviathan? And Job chapter 41 is a whole chapter on this sea creature called Leviathan. And at the end of the verse, Leviathan is called the king of the children of pride. And there was this sea serpent that God was talking about. God was breaking down how he has absolute control over him, how no one could control pride except God. No one can humble pride except God. And he was going on and on about the different things that he could do with pride to make pride be nothing to him and in his hands. Hallelujah. It's a powerful thing. But in saying that, this is where we get the whole definition of Leviathan and who Leviathan is and how Leviathan represents pride. And some of the characteristics of Job 41 is pride has a hard heart. What is the problem with having a hard heart? If your heart is hardened, then it can't be open to do the will of the agenda of God. Remember, the reason that God found David, according to Acts 13, verse 22, is because he says he was a man after my own heart who would fulfill all my will or fulfill all my desire. And so, in other words, God was looking for someone whose heart that he can use. He can't use a heart that is hard or a heart that is prideful or a heart that is swollen, because that heart can't be molded. It can't be shaped. Not just molded or shaped, but remember, a heart that God uses, he breathes on that heart and allows his spirit to flow through. But the beautiful thing about God is when God puts things inside of us, he puts them inside of us so they can flow out of us to other people. When we are prideful, that's an area of our life where we are restricting the wind of the Spirit from flowing through into someone else. Let me tell you this, God is so humble. I know this isn't an aspect that we speak about once sometimes, but I want you to really consider how humble God is. God is so humble in all his majesty and all his power that when he does do something, he allows people to get the credit for it. I'm going to say that again. God is so humble that when he does something, he'll allow the people to get the credit for it. What do I mean? Someone goes and prays for you and then you get healed. You see that person. Now, the person sometimes has to remind you, man, give the glory to God. Give the credit to God. But he uses the actual person to put their hands on you, or he uses the actual person to pray to you, or he uses the actual person to prophesy to you. So God is so humble that he will share. Now, of course, there are some times where, you know, you will get the audible word of the Lord for yourself, where he would just speak that word to you, but then he could send human beings to confirm it. The human beings, people that are, think about this, we're made from dirt, y'all. You know, sometimes we tend to forget that. that we are made from dirt. And the only thing that's even giving us anything right now is the actual breath that God breathed, started with Adam. This breath he breathed is continuing to go. This breath that's coming out of our mouth is the breath that God breathed on the inside of us. Outside of that, we are made from actual dirt. Straight up. So you go outside and you look at some dirt right now. That's me and you. We are made from dirt. The only thing that makes us anything is the breath of God that is on the inside of us. That's it. The breath of God. And we go around and we exalt ourselves and make it seem like we're better than other people, or this person can't say anything to me. I know we're just actual dirt. And the one who made us, he hides himself. You know, there are scriptures that talks about how God hides himself in the clouds. That's why when you access him, you have to go into the secret place. God is so humble, he hides himself. Think about this. When Jesus came on the earth, it says he made himself of no reputation. He made himself of no reputation, Philippians chapter 2. No reputation, meaning Jesus wasn't seeking to be seen. Okay, he wasn't seeking to puff himself up, make it seem like he was all that. And he had every right to. He had made us people, human beings. But by Jesus not being puffed up, it was easier for him to receive the agenda of God. Because it wasn't about his own will. It was about the will of the Father. So the link between pride and identity is this, is that when we are walking in humility, it's easier for us to access the will or the desire of the Father, because our will or our agenda is not puffed up. I'm going to tell you right now some things that come along with pride. And if that's you, the Lord wants you to hear this today, because the Lord wants you to humble yourself. He's saying that the key to you walking in your total freedom is simply just the act of you humbling yourself. Hallelujah. Not just, let me go to this person at this church and, okay, I'm going to receive this prayer. Okay, after that, you know, now I got to do this and I do this. No, God just really wants you to humble yourself. Actually, all of us humble ourselves, okay, to reduce the swelling, because pride means swelling. When things are swollen, okay, nothing can come in because it's swollen. That's where you get the term a big head from, okay? So check this out. Proverbs 13, verse 10, only by pride cometh contention. Okay, only by pride cometh contention. So we understand what contention means, right? Like strife, okay? Strife, getting into it with people, a quarrel, you know, an argument, okay? Those things come with pride. Pride actually is the root of an argument, is the root of debates, okay? Pride. Now, like I said, this is in scripture. You can check this out for yourself. Okay? I'm going to tell you something else that comes with pride and why pride is so dangerous. Proverbs 11, verse 2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. So shame comes with pride. See, let me tell you something. If we don't humble ourselves, something else is going to humble us. But when that something else humbles us, shame comes along with that. Okay. See, with pride comes shame. We don't want shame. Shame brings you low. You don't want the lowliness of shame. You want the lowliness that comes with humility, with the humility that God has given us, the power and the strength that God has given us to really humble ourselves or bring ourselves low. Okay, there's a peace in bringing yourself low and humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God. This is how you walk in purpose. God says if we humble ourselves under his mighty hand, that he will exalt us. Okay, I need to find that scripture right now. That just jumped out to me. But when we humble ourselves under his mighty hand, he will exalt us. So in other words, think about this. Your purpose is in the hand of God. Because your purpose, or the way to your purpose, sits on the right hand of God. Who sits on the right hand of God? Jesus. Jesus sits on the right hand of the Father, right? And so if the way to your purpose, the truth to your purpose, or let me say this, if the way to your identity, the truth to your identity, and the life of your identity sits on the right hand of the Father, then when you humble yourself in his mighty hand, hallelujah, you're humbling your identity, okay? He says he will lift you up. So he will begin to bring you to the place of what your true identity is, because the one whose hand that you are in knows your true identity. There are so many false identities. People are so desperate for identities to where they end up making their own, making their own. I don't want to diss anybody, okay? But I just want to just say from my experience what I saw. There was a period where I lived in Los Angeles, and I would visit the Bay Area, right? I love the Bay Area, by the way. Let me just say that. You know, that used to be my spot. Now, when I was visiting the Bay Area, it was for music and drugs, okay? It was for music and drugs while I was visiting the Bay Area. It wasn't for anything holy. This was before I was saved, okay? Music was cool, but, you know, part of my money I was getting, you know, we was going to spend on some other stuff. And so, but I was living in LA, and I still remember I never saw so many plastic surgery places in my life. Oh my gosh, like it freaked me out. It was like a culture shock. We don't have all that in Chicago. You know what I'm saying? It was like almost like Walgreens. But when I think back on it now, there were so many buildings set up for people to alter themselves and to change themselves into a particular identity that they desire for themselves to look like, okay? That's pride, all right? That's pride. That's swollen. That's let me make myself into something that I want to be and not consulting the will of God, okay? And with pride comes shame. I'm going to give you another scripture about pride. Okay, we all know the scripture, how pride goes before destruction, right? Proverbs 16, verse 18. We know the scripture about how pride will bring you low. But let me give you another scripture about pride. Obadiah 1, verse 3. It says, the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Now, in this scripture, it shows how pride will deceive you, okay? Pride opens the mind to deception. Pride opens the heart to deception, meaning it opens the heart of being lied to. And I want you to notice it says, Obadiah 1, verse 3, the pride of their hearts or the swelling of your heart has deceived you. That means when we're in pride sometimes, if we're being walking in deception, you don't even know it because deception causes you to be blind. Think about when someone is blind. You can put anything in front of a blind person. They don't know it's there. Because they're blind, they can't see. So it's prideful for us to think that in our pride, we're able to see things and we're still like, nah, I see it, but I just don't really want to do it. No, you can't even see it. You can't even see the fullness of it. That's why it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where it says the natural man cannot perceive the things of the spirit, for they are foolishness to him. Okay? The natural man can't see the things of the spirit. Check this out. For a lot of us, with salvation, had I would have known that this was salvation was, I would have got saved when I really got saved when I was like 5 years old. You know what I'm saying? Had I would have known that this was the Christian life, this was the gospel life, I would have lived this life. I would have got saved. You know what I'm saying? But I really couldn't see it. I saw it through the lens of something else. You know what I'm saying? I saw it through the lens of what people showed me. Some of us right now, the reason that we aren't saved or the reason that we're halfway is we're going off what people are showing us. That's pride. That's pride. Now, something else that it says is about how pride brings us low. okay? I'm just going to say this. I don't want to condemn anybody, but I do want to just tell you the truth of what it is so this thing can be exposed. Being that pride brings us low, what else is associated with bringing us low? Depression. Depression, okay? Depression is also a form of pride. It's a form of pride. Depression is a form of where you're saying at that moment, you know what, my thing, where I'm being brought so low, okay, that it's almost refusing the happiness or the joy or the peace that God desires to give us. It's like we've exalted our sadness over everything else, okay? When you get brought low. Now, God wants to bring peace in our lives. As believers, God blesses us with righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, it's not to say that you can't get sad, but there's a difference from being sad and being depressed. Being depressed is a lifestyle. Okay, being depressed is it's a lifestyle that we end up going into for a while. And so now the depression is what begins to govern our life. There is a sign or a root of pride that is in that depression. Okay, I want to say this real quick and hurry up and, you know what I'm saying, do this stuff or whatever. But I hope you all are getting something from this. I'm going to give you something else, too, and I know this is going to set some people free, okay? In Colossians chapter 2, verse 18, he says, "Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind." I'm going to tell you right now, if you read that particular passage, matter of fact, let me read some of this because I don't want no darts coming at me because it might be some manifestations when I read this. You know, not of y'all, but just of the demons. You know what I'm saying? So let me just go ahead and just read this right now. Okay, so I'm going to start at verse 14, talking about Jesus on the cross. It says, "Blotting out the handwritings of ordinances that was written against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way and nailed it to its cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come. But the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he have not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind." Okay, now this is what I want to touch on right here. First of all, Jesus says in verse 14 that the handwriting of the ordinances, right, have been nailed to the cross. What were those ordinances? Those ordinances were the records of the wrongs that were kept by the accuser of the brethren, but culminated in what we know now as the law. Okay? Jesus took the law, that first law, and tattooed it to the cross, to where now that first law has no power anymore. We don't flow under that first law. We now flow under the new covenant of God. Okay, so that old ordinance was done away because that old ordinance showed us our imperfections. That's why if people live under the law and under bondage, that's why they never could really access full and total freedom in their life. That's why it feels like a stress and pressure of them having to stick up to all of these mandates, what God says is done away in Christ. But also what ends up happening too is when we allow pride in our heart, again, going back to the deception thing, it can cause us to see things that aren't there. Sometimes when people are having false visions or they believe certain things are happening, I believe the Spirit told me this, and then there ends up being no fruit from it. It's pride. See, a lot of times we say, oh, that person is spooky, that person is weird. No, it's pride. That pride is saying that my way is better than your way. Do you know that denominations are a manifestation of pride? Seriously, I was talking about this last night in my deliverance class. Denominations are a manifestation of pride. Because what happened with denominations, and if you ever want a scripture about denominations, you can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul begins to address denominations because what happened was some of the believers were started to divide themselves and saying, well, you know what, Paul baptized me, so we flowing with Paul. Some people were saying, you know what, Apollos baptized me, so we flowing with Apollos. And then they began to puff up the things that they're being taught to them. And Paul is saying that, look, make sure that there be no divisions among you. Okay, he starts going in about the whole divisions thing. But my point of the matter is when you study deeper about divisions and contentions, we know that with pride comes what? Contention. We read that in the Word of God, okay? And when you have these denominations, what is happening? Now, let me preface my comment of saying this. I'm not saying if you're a part of a denomination that you are not of God. This is not what I'm saying at all. Well, what I am saying is it's a danger when you allow your denomination to be the lens through what you discern things through. Never discern things through your denomination. As long as you discern things for your denomination, that's religious pride. That's what that is. Because you're saying that my denomination is the only denomination. Okay? There's only one way, and that's Jesus. Period. There is no other way. There aren't all of these different ways to God. None of that stuff. Do you know in America alone, there are over 1,000 denominations? That means there are over 1,000 ways that people feel is the way to Jesus through their specific lens. Now, I'm going to tell you the problem with denominations. A lot of denominations, not all of them, but a lot of them started with a true revelation from God. A true revelation from God, from that person. But what ended up happening was the people of that belief took the revelation and exalted the revelation to where they felt that their revelation was the only way to perceive God. And so now they got limited in their revelation, not understanding that revelations are all the time. God wants to give us revelations of revelations. His wisdom is manifold. So he doesn't just stop in one revelation and say, perceive everything through that. No, revelations are manifold. Look, the revelation that we're getting right now today from pride, you personally might get another revelation from it from God next week. God might speak something to you later today. And then you'll read the scripture. And then I might hear you read it and be like, you know what? I never even saw that in that scripture. But I can't see in the scripture if I'm prideful, because pride blinds us, because it deceives us, and deception causes us to be blind. Hallelujah. Deception causes us to be blind. I want to really address that thing of pride and really issue a cry for us to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. We can't be led by the Spirit if we're prideful. Okay, do you know that Leviathan in Job chapter 41? I'm gonna give you a couple of quick character traits, and then I promise I'm gonna get off and get out the way. Okay, I don't want to be swole up on here. All right, so I'm gonna give you a couple of things. Job 41 verse 1. Can you draw out Leviathan with the hook, or his tongue with the cord which thou lettest down? In other words, it's hard to hook something that doesn't want to, like when you hook something, you're basically pulling it on your own. Pride can't be pulled. In other words, pride is saying my way, nobody else's way, but my way. When we're telling God it's my way, when we're resisting God, we're operating in pride. When we're not letting God pull us in a direction that he wants to pull us in, we're operating in pride. When we're allowing our tongue to say what it wants to, we're operating in pride. You know what? I say what I want. Only God can judge me. That statement is prideful. Tupac was full of pride. Look, I love Pac, but Pac is full of pride. It's what it is. And you know what? We have to ask God to change our appetites. I know Sister Dion was praying about appetites yesterday. We want God to give us his appetite. Do you know that God says that he hates pride? The scripture says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of evil. Pride, arrogancy, and the evil way do I hate. That's what God says. He says in Proverbs chapter 6 that six things he hates. Seven are an abomination to him. The first thing he mentions is a prideful look. God hates pride. There was a distaste and a disgust for pride. Now, we as human beings, especially living in America, we tend to love pride. We celebrate pride. We celebrate being puffed up. This is what we're digesting. This is what we're eating. But if we are really people of God, we're to have a hatred of pride. Not just a disgust of pride, but a hatred of pride. And again, pride isn't always the way that we look at it. Again, Job 41 shows us, verse 3, pride doesn't like to ask anybody for anything. Okay? Pride, it says, will he speak soft words unto thee? Pride speaks harshly. Okay? Pride is very, very harsh, speaks harsh. Do you know that cursing comes along with pride? Hallelujah. I need to find that scripture. I'll make sure I do it on the next session. I'll show you the scripture connecting pride with cursing. Okay? And the danger with pride, I want to close with this of why I'm getting on this about the danger of pride and identity and why it's so important, because we're seeing pride on full display like never before. One is because pride goes before destruction. In other words, destruction is always right around the corner with pride, always. But the second thing and a more important thing is this, is when Satan was in heaven as Lucifer, when he was the one that was leading the worship in heaven, he was the most beautiful angel that God had ever created. But it was in his pride where he began to look and see how beautiful he was and saw how powerful he was and said, you know, I want to see my throne exalted in the heavens, to where the pride led him into deception, which ended up leading him to talk to a third of the angels to get them to come and fight against God. And remember, Satan is a murderer. So he was trying to kill God. This is what pride drove him to. So what this shows us is that pride will literally cause you to kill or snuff out the things of God in your life. This is the danger of what pride will do. When God sees that spirit of pride, it reminds him of what Satan tried to do to him when he was in heaven. It reminds him of that attempt. You know, all of us, well, I shouldn't say all of us. Some of us have had near-death experiences, right? Some of you all, if you're ladies on here, some of you all have been raped. Some of you all have been molested. Some men on here have been molested, or somebody probably held a gun to you or tried to kill you. You never forget that. You may forgive the person, but you never forget that moment. That's a moment that you don't forget, okay? Or you'll try to block it out of your mind all the way. So you think about God. God, someone actually tried to kill him, and it was Satan, okay? And it was because of pride, okay? God hates pride. So when we walk swollen up in our own identities, saying our way or our own doctrines or doing that, you know what I'm saying? God smells that fragrance of pride, okay? It's a reminder, and we love God. We want to show our love to him. We don't want to develop that hard shell to where we can't receive the wind of the Spirit in our lives and be led by the Spirit. And there is such a call going on right now, people of God, for us to really move in a greater dimension, okay? There was a groaning going on in the earth for us to really move in the things of Jesus, for us to say, Jesus, you are Lord. Jesus, I want you. Jesus, I want you to fill my heart. Jesus, I whatever agenda you have, that's the way that I want to move. That's the way that I want to go. Jesus, I need you today in every area of my life. I am totally open for my life to be used by you. and not operating in this stiff-neckedness to where we say, I'm just going to do this thing my way, and you know what? God could judge me, or God knows my heart. You know what I'm saying? All of that stuff is pride. It's pride. People of God, I'm really just crying out and asking to humble ourselves. Really humble ourselves to correction, humble ourselves to instruction, humble ourselves to doing the right thing. And when I mean the right thing, I'm talking about to obedience, you know, humbling ourselves to the heart and the mind of God. There are some people on here who may be operating under the law. You may be a part of a denomination that believes in the law. Now, I'm going to be quite honest with you. I'm going to be quite honest with you and tell you this. If you are operating under a denomination that is operating under the law, you need to leave that denomination. Now, that's real talk, because you will never be able to flow in the things of the Spirit, because the things of the law crush the things of the Spirit. And if you ever want to, for time purposes, I'm gonna say this prayer, I'm gonna get off of here. But if you ever need some more revelation on that, you want to see it in the scripture, line upon line, precept upon precept, you can get my information from Sister Dion. I promise I will show you in the scripture, because Jesus wants you to be free. Jesus did not die for you to go back under the bondage of the law. This is what's in the scripture. This is not me making this up. And the law crushes out the wind of the Spirit. Do you know? Let me give you an example of pride in the New Testament. The Pharisees. The Pharisees, what made the Pharisees the Pharisees? You know, we look at them from reading in the pages, and we just think they were these super evil men and all of this stuff, because of we see it through the lens of Jesus. Could you do me a favor? Mute your phone. Hello, mute your phone. Make sure your phone is muted. But check this out. The Pharisees, they were the keepers of the law. That's who they were. They were the ones that practiced the law. Jesus warred against that. He fulfilled the law in these two commandments: loving God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, loving your neighbor as you love yourself. If you walk in those principles, therefore you are fulfilling the law. Why? Because if you love God, you're going to have a hatred for sin. If you love God, then you open your heart for one to not be puffed up. Okay, remember, the Bible says love is not puffed up, doesn't seek its own. In other words, love is not prideful. So if we have an area of pride in our heart, that's an area where the love of God is not coming in. And I'm just telling you, I'm not pointing my finger at anybody. I start with myself first. I was explaining even in my class last night, there are definitely areas where the Lord has worked on me in areas of pride in my own heart. And I'm still dying. You know what I'm saying? I die daily. Like Paul said, I haven't arrived. I'm still dying daily. Amen. You know what I'm saying? There's another level of pride I need to die to today, and then tomorrow, and then the next day. You know what I'm saying? But I've at least made it up in my heart that I'm going to humble myself under the mighty hand of God. Hallelujah. I'm opening my heart to God's correction. I'm opening my heart to God's leading and saying, God, you know what? I give you my whole heart. You know what I'm saying? Whatever it is, Lord, hide your truth in my inward parts. Father, I even say this right now, just in closing, Lord, for your truth. Hallelujah. Razón de reco toro para rasheco de rica tia poco toro maso. Reco toro para cushandele de tia andarado peco toro setera. Father, I pray for your truth to be hidden in our inward parts. Corroque toro macatala na maso toro para coterista toro machanderista queira. Father, I pray for each and every single person on here. I pray for the sword of the Lord to begin to break open the scales of pride and Leviathan. Lord, I pray for your sword to begin to cut open the hard exterior of pride. Lord God, that has been operating in our hearts. I just want you all, even right now, as you're out there listening, I want you to just say out of your mouth, if you really desire this, to tell God, I humble myself to you. Okay, as a matter of fact, just repeat after me. Say, I humble myself under your mighty hand. I humble my tongue to your words. I humble my emotions to your emotions. I humble my thoughts to your thoughts. I humble my heart to your heart. Father, let your consuming fire begin to melt my heart. Father, let your consuming fire begin to melt my heart in such a way that I will begin to feel feelings in the areas where my heart was dead. I pray that you would melt my heart so much that I will begin to be sensitive in the areas where you want my heart to be sensitive. Go to the areas where my emotions have been bound and have been blocked. Release healing in those areas. Break the bands off of my heart where my heart has been hardened. I want to hear you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father. We thank you for what it is that you are doing in our hearts. We thank you for the anointing right now, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you for what it is that we're doing. I'll probably leave the other part for the declaration part. I'm definitely probably going to do some prayer on the other end. Some prayer. If the Lord leads us into the prophetic realm, I will. But I really want to like break some things. I really want to break some things off of us. Okay, I really want to do that. And again, humility is a choice. So if you don't even want to go in that realm, it's okay. All right, you could just go ahead and hang up. You know what I'm saying? Because this is probably not the call for you. You know what I'm saying? And the beautiful thing about God is He doesn't force us to do anything. But this is for those that desire to really humble themselves, because you really want a fresh breath from God. You really want to go even in a more intense direction, and you really want to really connect with Him more in your life. You're tired of the same old. You're tired of even the level that you're at, and you want to break through even into a new level. Hallelujah. I want to really do some prayers, really break some things off. This isn't some type of religious action I'm doing. No, this is just the action of humbling ourselves. That's where the power lies. Power lies in the humility. Hallelujah. Power lies in the humility. Power doesn't lie. Power doesn't rest in the fact that someone has a particular title or anything like that. Power rests in the humility. Hallelujah. We're humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God, allowing God to flow through us to where we become invisible. Hallelujah. And so if that's you, I want you to really stay on the call for the next step that we're going to do. But in a form of humility right now, I want you to begin to humble your tongue. Hallelujah. Remember, pride is the thing that keeps us from praying. It's the thing that keeps us from seeking after God. It's the thing that keeps us from worship. Okay? All right? And so since prayer is a form of seeking God and worshiping Him, I want us to begin to open our mouths and begin to pray We're going to begin to open our mouths. I want you to begin to pray in the spirit. Do not allow pride to get in your way this morning. Hallelujah. Begin to open your mouth. If you feel like just not doing it, right there, you have just seen pride, okay? And I want you to look that pride in its face and say, no, you will not keep me from the things of God this morning. Hallelujah. So I want you all to begin to take your phones off of mute. Hallelujah. If there's anybody still there after this prayer teaching, I want you to take your phone off mute. And we're going to begin to pray in the spirit. We're going to begin to lift up the name of Jesus right now. Come on.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Come on, you all. Come on, humble those tongues. Hallelujah. Come on,
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Ma coglierà non ho buttato, 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 ma coglierà non ho buttato,
Just really spend this. I know this is not like the kind of normal way of how it's done on here or whatever. I didn't plan this either, but I really want you to like take a moment, and I want you to think about anything in your life that you may have exalted above the knowledge of God. Okay. There's a scripture, I think it's 2 Corinthians 10, I think it's verses 4 and 5, where it says how about every high thing that will exalt itself against the knowledge of God, how we're to take those things captive. And so I want you to think about, like, let me give you an example. Sometimes we can exalt our gifts above the knowledge of God. In other words, the pursuit of our gifts, the pursuit of our placement, of where we want to be in life. Do me a favor, mute your phone, whoever that is. I need you to mute your phone. The pursuit of where we want to be in life can actually be exalted in our lives above our pursuit of God. Okay? And that's what leads a lot of time to our unhappiness, because Jesus wants us to find our peace in him. Okay? He wants us to find our peace in him. This is why Paul has said how, even though when he was shipwrecked and he was beat and, you know, he was perplexed on every side, but not in despair, you know, this is why he was able to have peace and able to have the joy of the Lord, okay, which is one of the fruits of the Spirit, because his desire, all right, was met every single time that he connected with Jesus. Like, he just wanted to be full of Jesus. And from being full of Jesus and connecting with him, that's where he had his peace. His peace where throughout the day he was able to navigate. He understood that, you know what, God, because you and I are so connected, all right, I know that my steps are being ordered. I know that if I'm stepping into whatever it is, you got me. Okay, you got me, God. You're not going to set me up to fail. You're not going to put me in these things. You know what? If I don't get this one door, that's because you have something better for me, but not just a cliche with it, really believing it from the place of relationship. So I want you to think about any area of your life where you're exalting a pursuit above God. Some of us, it may be exalting a particular lifestyle, okay? Maybe you might be operating in homosexuality. Maybe you might be operating in fornication, okay? Maybe you might be out here getting high, okay? These are things that we exalt above the knowledge of God. These are things that even though they're against God, we're saying at that moment, God, I think this way is better for me than your way. And that's pride. That's swelling. And remember, with pride, it goes before destruction. Somebody's not muting their phone, but that's okay. So we're going to open this up right now. If there's any question, answer, anybody wants prayer, I really kind of want to just kind of flow in that vein right now, you know, and you know, you can just keep it all the way real. It's cool. You know, if you got some questions about the whole pride, Leviathan thing, you know what I'm saying? You can go right ahead. It's all good.
Hey, good morning. This is Kevin. I'm operating and all that. I'm working like 3 jobs. And I know God has something better for me. And I'm at the point now to where it's like, in spite of the 401k, in spite of the time frame, I'm ready to leave that position. But then it's like the money that I'm making is, I'm being prideful about the money that I'm making. Regardless of the fact of how tired I am or whatever it is, when I lay down, my pride is telling me you're tired, but you get to get up and do it all over again, and you get to spend the money. So it's like, if you could just pray off of me or stand in agreement with me that help me to, because I already know, I believe everything that Bible says, but just trust God like I say I do. I say I trust him, and I praise him, and I desire him, and I pursue him, and I relentlessly pursue him, and I know he has a ever-ending love for me, but it's like I can't do it by myself. I know I can do everything through the power of God, so it's like I'm at the point to where I'm ready to quit this job, and I keep procrastinating, saying, oh, I'm going to give them a 2-week notice, but I'm at a point in my life now where it's like I was in and out of my son's life for 20 years, and things have been constantly changing since I shared my testimony last month. I've been in and out of my son's life for the past 20 years, all of his life. And now he's at a point to where it's like he figured stuff out basically on his own with the prayers and the help of God. And I'm ready just to leave where I am to go be with him because it's time. So if you can just pray for me for guidance, godly guidance, and to overcome that pride of working all these jobs and procrastinating, because my first family is where my heart is. My first family is where my heart is, and that's God. But it's like the stronghold of pride and greed and money is, that's what it is. That's what it is.
I want to encourage you. I want to give you the scripture because I want this to be something that you can take. Okay, do me a favor. If it's not Kendra, I need you to mute your phone. Hello? If it's not Kendra,
that's
I need you
me.
To mute your phone. Okay.
What color shirt you
wearing? Mute your phone. Hello? Mic check. Could you
wait,
mute your phone?
Shh, hold up. Hold up, Phil. I got it.
Okay, Miss Kendra.
It's just Kendra. There's no end in my name, but I hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
It's all good.
So I want to do this. I want to give you a scripture, something that you can stand on to be talking to the Lord on your own from, okay?
So this is something that you could carry on, like, after this conversation. So I want you to go to John chapter 5, verse 30, and if you can't go to it, I just want you to, you know, if you could write it down or something like that. But John chapter 5, verse 30. And on John chapter 5, verse 30, I want you to, the part in there that says, seek the will of the Father. Okay? Seek the will of the Father. So you basically want to find out what is God's desire in these situations, and tell him that you completely open yourself up to him leading you, because you don't know the first step to take. Okay? You want to make sure that you're making the right step and the right decision in what you're doing. You want to totally humble your mind, all right, to where it's like, yo, like, just let me know. Do I leave this? Do I step away from this? Do I not, and do I move this other thing around? What do I do? I just know something is not right, and I don't want to be puffed up in my own thoughts. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. And when you said something about serving under the law, I'm not serving the will of God. And the place where I've been working all these years is very militant, very militant. Cold and equipment. So, hey, man, thank you. I thank God.
But I want to say this prayer, and I do want to say this, too. I'm not saying, look, I'm going to tell you right now, I was working as a teacher for 7 years. In a place that was anti-Jesus, and I think I'm understating that, okay? They were openly blatant anti-Jesus. I mean, there was people in there that was channeling Egyptian deities, psychics, Yoruban priestesses, Hebrew Israel. I mean, it was some of everything. I'm the believer up in that boy. You know what I'm saying? But you know, because I was clear that God had me there, you know, I walked within the grace of that, and as a result, I saw great fruit. Even people getting saved. You know what I'm saying? So, like, you know, you have to know. But when it was time for me to leave my job, I had to get a word from God as well, too. And I had to be sure. Like, I had to look. I'm like, man, God, you got to let me know without a shadow of a doubt, okay? Because this is a big step I'm taking here. You know what I mean? You know,
yes, sir.
So, but the mindset was, always like, or the mindset was, look, God, you know, I just want to make sure that I am in the path that you have for me, because my life is not my own. You know what I'm saying? My life is not my own. It's yours. You know? So Father, I thank you. You said Kedra, right?
It's Kedra.
Kedra, that's it. Forgive me for my Southside Chi-Town accent.
It's all Kedra.
Okay, Miss Kedra. Father, thank you for Kedra. Thank you, Lord, for who she is, who you created her to be. Lord, even as we're doing this thing on pride right now, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that there is such an essence of humility in her to even come to that moment, to come to that place, to say, to even address the certain things that she sees, Lord God. And so, Lord, I pray even right now that as she humbles herself, even in this situation, Lord, you said you will lift her up. Hallelujah. So I pray, Lord, that you would begin to lift her up and exalt her above all of these things that are holding her down. Time out. Whoever that is, you know, I'm not being mean. I know I just talked about pride and soft words. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to say this as nice as I can. Could you please mute your phone? Please.
I got
mute
it.
Mute your phone. Okay, Miss Kedra. So, Father, thank you so much. just for the anointing that is on her life. And I pray that as you exalt her, you will exalt her even above the chains, that you will bring her out of those things that are keeping her chained, those things that are keeping her held down and bogged, you know, from really walking in the freedom of life. Lord, I pray that you would begin to push her. Even into the next place, into the next phase that you desire for her to go. I pray, Lord God, that as you begin to remove the scales of pride, that she will begin to see more clearly in which way to go. Father, I pray for your sword to begin to break up the scales of pride. Lord God, that you can, that she will be able to see on what it is to do with her son. What is it that you desire for her to do concerning her family, with her job? Father, we pray for godly answers as she humbles herself. I even pray, Lord God, for there to be even a new connection in her prayer life and in her scripture life as well, in her reading the word. Open her understanding that she may understand the scriptures. Give her a fresh and a new inspiration, Lord, for the things of you. In Jesus' name. Miss Kedra, I'm gonna ask you this one last question, and then I'm gonna leave it alone. How is your with you working the three jobs? Do you get time to like pray or read your word at all?
So that's something that's bothering me too, because religion and politics are not allowed.
Wait. Hold on 1 second. Do this, Kedra, just for the sake of time, and it's a whole bunch of folks, and I know some folks are also trying to say stuff. When he asks you a question, and this is just for going forward, and then if need be, you can always set individual time with him if you want some one-on-one deliverance process, just so that we are being humble enough to know that it's other people that probably need to ask some questions, okay? So just yes or no answers. No, super duper descriptive, but you know what I'm saying, but definitely say the key things.
No,
I'm not saying it to be mean, so that's it.
No, and I'll inbox you.
Okay, do that.
Okay.
Inbox me.
Amen,
okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Is there anybody else?
And let me, can I...
Can you repeat
this
that scripture?
Really?
Sorry, it's Kenya,
no.
Real quick. Can
no,
you
no,
repeat
fine.
That scripture that you gave for Kedra? John?
John chapter 5,
John 5
verse 30. 30.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome.
And I know that for some folks, and you know what I'm going to do, as a matter of fact, I'm going to turn this part of the call off. Because I don't want, oh no, it's not on already. I don't want, wait a minute.